Hello, welcome to the show today. This is episode 4 of the Lincoln Cast for the week of May 18th, 2012. I am your host, Yubo Rema, and joining me here today is self-confessed cynic.
Hello.
Hello, Durin.
Hello.
Hello, and Ross.
Well, hello.
Hello. All right.
Hi.
So,
you.
So, right. So, normally, the host is cynic.
Where?
Came up with a disease, and he can't be the host of this podcast.
What's the disease? So,
death. Is that okay?
Death?
I think that's an offensive joke. There's people that have died from diseases. continuing on. So, Cynic, I'll be, you know, driving this podcast and then crashing it on the side of the road. So, be prepared for that. Right. So, let's just get back onto topic. What has everyone been up to in this past week?
Let's start with you, Cynic. Yeah, I guess I should start.
Tell me about yourself.
I've been sick. I left my job. And now I have a ton of free time to play Diablo 3, so I'm happy.
Oh, it's great. Diablo 3?
Yep, I got Diablo 3. It's going to be great.
Liking it? Oh, you haven't gotten it yet.
Well, yeah, I have a barbarian. He's pretty cool. He whacks shit. He's great. Wow. I tried a wizard.
You know, I would like you to talk more, but this is the Guild Wars podcast. So, moving on. Durin, what has occurred in your week this week?
Lots and lots of Diablo 3.
Oh.
I got a monk.
Oh,
he's pretty cool.
Oh, no.
He punches shit.
You're also Damn playing straight. As a monk.
Yeah. Well, I tried monk. I don't know. It's a bit, you know. It's a bit too. I like how it's fast paced, but it doesn't really hit hard enough for me.
Oh, that definitely changes later in the game. Like you get pretty goddamn powerful.
Guys,
like at the point that I am in the game, you're pretty much
Diablo 3 podcast. I mean,
what is that, noob? What?
This is not the Diablo 3 podcast. So
wait,
let's move on.
What was
I'm sorry,
Rawson,
what'd you say?
What's been going on this week? Don't mention Diablo 3, please.
That's all that's been going on this week for everybody.
are you asking me this question?
Yes.
Now?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
I finished this semester. I'm now off work for like the next 10 days, and I've been playing a lot of a certain action RPG where I click on demons.
You've been playing Torchlight. You've been playing.
Oh, so you've been playing Torchlight too.
How are you liking Torchlight?
No, I've actually been playing Diablo too.
Diablo 2. Or 3. Both?
That's a good game.
No, actually Diablo 3, but he told me mention Diablo 3, so...
Oh, right, yeah. So you try to get around it lying. Lying to his face.
Yes.
Why don't you go make your Diablo 3 podcast, asshole? Because this is a legend cast, and we don't talk about Diablo here.
I think somebody might be a little bitter.
Oh, okay. So, what was I going to say? Right, so moving back onto topic. Guild Wars. So...
Wait, is that what this podcast is about?
Oh, it's, God. Imagine
this was the Diablo podcast.
Guild Wars patch into Diablo 3.
Oh, man. Stop talking. Stop it.
I get my
it.
Necromancer back.
No, I don't. I didn't come on here so I could talk about Diablo 3.
Wait, have you been playing Diablo 3, Noob?
Oh, well, I've been playing... What have I been playing? Actually, I haven't been playing any games this week except Arma 2.
Really?
So, yeah.
DayZ, you know, I'm guessing?
No, hell no. It's too casual. That's casual. It's not hardcore.
Too casual.
That's too mainstream. That's mainstream.
Yeah.
I'm a bit alternative for that. I'm like the Zoe Deschanel. Zoe Deschanel.
Zoe Deschanel is alternative.
Zoe Deschanel?
If I had Zoe Deschanel on this podcast instead of you.
Hey, guys. I'm all the... Shut up. I'm better than her.
Was that your Zoe Deschanel?
I don't know.
I really like
her. I could have been a better female lead in Yes Men than her. Okay.
Miss Deschanel.
Miss Deschanel?
Oh, God. I think we should get onto the podcast.
Okay.
I need to leave soon.
That's the person who
your hair
talking about
smells
Diablo
nice.
3, Jesus Christ.
Hey, man. Diablo 3 is pretty good.
All right, so our first segment, this is new, is the new segment. Whoa. We're going to talk about news. So,
wait, what?
Right,
what?
There's all of this Guild Wars news about Guild Wars 2 and not Diablo 3. We're gonna
so it's not going to be like 2 to 3 hours of just directionless nonsense?
No. Hopefully, it probably still will be. I think you're getting your hopes way too high up. Okay, so Guild Wars 2 release date, possibly June 28th, or possibly sometime after July, but before August.
It's a lie. It's a horrible lie.
Really? Okay, so basically...
So, wait, hang on.
Yes.
After July, but before August, what kind of fucking metastable state is he going to release in?
At midnight. Clearly, the only time...
Is he going to release in like the dark hour between July 31st and August 1st? That's a little Persona 3 reference for those of you out there.
Upon the 13th hour. That'd be pretty cool, actually.
All right, so basically, there was a sign-up on Fry's Electronics about Guild Wars 2 coming out on June 28th. And then ArenaNet had rebuked the claim. They said, no, it is not, and it's unofficial. And then suddenly, in an earnings call from GameStop, they added Guild Wars 2 release date on the next quarter. So that's sometime after July. And GameStop's online listing had Guild Wars 2 released as June 26th. So when does it come out, guys?
I'm going to go ahead guess that the earnings call is probably a bit more accurate. That game needs a little bit more work still, and I think a June release is a bit early.
But this is GameStop, not ArenaNet.
Yeah, and
right, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I totally don't think either of them are necessarily true, but I think that it's absolutely not coming out in June. There's no way this game will be ready to be released in June.
I'm hedging my bets for a mid-July, late, or early August release date. I don't know.
Really?
It feels really done. Except for
does
what
it
I've seen.
To you?
I'm thinking
it
like
feels like there's a lot of work.
I'm thinking late August at the earliest.
Late August.
Yeah, honestly, I would say probably sometime around September is when I would expect the game to come out.
Well, the hard part about it is they probably don't want to release it during the fall because then they're going to cannibalize their own sales with the big fall releases. So they want to get the game out as they're probably wanting to hold on to it as long as they can and do as much work as they can, but they want to make sure it's out there before those big fall releases start to hit. Right. So that's why I'm thinking maybe like mid to late August is probably when we'll see the game hit.
Do you think it would be successful if it, like, for example, if it did come out towards Xover, like November, do you think it would be successful?
I mean, the audience for Guild Wars, what other games are getting released?
The WoW expansion.
Oh.
Well, and you have to look beyond just MMOs as well. I mean, you have to...
That's true.
People who play Guild Wars don't just play Guild Wars. We play all sorts of games.
That's right.
And, I mean, there's Assassin's Creed.
There's only so much money you have. Yeah, there's only so much money you have during a month. So you're going to have to make that choice of, do I get Guild Wars or do I get Assassin's Creed? And, I mean, for some of us, that's an easy choice. Yeah. But for others, that's a much harder choice to make.
Like, not everyone has already bought Guild Wars 2, for example.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
so,
I mean,
I think it'll be successful, but I think they'll get a lot more day one sales if they release before that point.
I was hoping for a summer release because that's when people get their vacations and that's when people have the most amount of free time to play. In fact, a year ago, I sent an email to ArenaNet asking them to release it in summer so I can play the game 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
But see, the thing is, if that logic worked, we wouldn't have the summer drought that we have every year.
Sure.
Do we still have a summer drought?
Oh,
I mean, Summer of Arcade really solved that kind of stuff for me, at least.
Well,
I don't know.
The Summer of Arcade stuff, that stuff helps to kind of hold you over through the summer, but you don't get the big AAA blockbuster title releases coming out in the summer.
I think Summer of Arcade is like a kind of a... not really indicative of of gaming as a whole, because personally, I got a PS3, not a 360. So for me, instead of Summer of Arcade, I get like Summer of Journey,
which is still pretty good.
But
it's not a $60.
The biggest thing,
Summer
like, why you don't
solid.
The biggest thing, like why you don't see those releases during the summer, though. I mean, really, they pay attention to everything even beyond their own industry, and the summer is all about the movies.
Yeah, movies. Right.
And you're not going to sacrifice your game by releasing it in the same week as a large... Like, I guarantee you game sales went down during the week of the release of Avengers.
But I feel like a movie isn't a 20-hour, 30-hour experience that people put into.
It's not just about the time. Again, you're talking about money as well. Like, not everybody has as much expendable income.
And even beyond that, it's the ad space. It's the mind space. It's what fills the channel of the media. So, for example, if it's a big game, definitely Modern Warfare would be a great example of this, where they pretty much have TV spots, everything they could possibly do, bus stands on the game. You can't do that if you're competing with... Well, I have like a text on my computer, which I list like release dates. For example, in the June-July kind of period, you're looking at Snow White and the Huntsman, Brave, Spider-Man, Dark Knight Rises... let's see, Born Legacy is coming out in August. Expendables 2 is coming out in August, at least at this point.
Yeah, I'm only interested in one of those.
But like, in just in terms of like he's saying, like, advertising, right? Like you don't want to have to be.
I'm a huge Twilight fan.
You don't want to have to be advertising against those big blockbuster movies. And that's basically what Cynic's getting at.
Right.
I mean, but even if it's not our target audience, it is the general target audience, which is what you're competing against in the advertising space.
Yeah.
Well, a little less.
I think it's safe to say that Guild Wars 2 does not have to really compete for our dollars specifically, the four of us.
Well, but we've already bought it, so they don't need to compete anymore.
That too.
But you're totally right. But I think we'll be discussing what we think when we think it'll release towards the end of the podcast. But in reference to this news story, I don't believe anyone from EB or Fry's at all when they say anything about a game's release date, because they don't know.
No, yeah, it's all projections,
right?
Like, all they're worried about is if they have the space in the shelves to fit these games if they came out in this quarter, and that's not really. The same as, hey, is this game done from ArenaNet?
Right. And again, like they guess these things based on whatever analysts they have, on the back end looking at all this stuff. And one of the biggest reasons, if nothing else, I mean, if they know they're going to have a kind of a drought area where there's not going to be some big releases, that's when you'll see their sales pop up, where you'll have, the buy two, get one free of unused game sales. Like, that's why this information is important to them, but it is all projections.
And like we all heard stuff from like Michael Pachter, he just guesses, and that's the kind of people.
Oh yeah,
I like Michael Pachter. Like, don't get me wrong, but that's the kind of people that.
And he admits he's wrong most of the time.
Yeah,
I have a word that starts with C to describe Michael Pachter, but I won't use it on this podcast.
Comedic.
Kind of a dick. No.
Cool.
It ends with a T.
To be fair, he's also
it's a bad word.
To be fair, he's also kind of become a part of the of game trailers, and that community is something else.
Not the best community.
So the fact that he has to deal with them, I don't blame him for having the kind of attitude towards gamers that he does have.
Yeah, and to be honest, in a lot of ways, I think his attitude towards gamers is totally fucking right. Not so much the bitch and moan as much as the we will buy a lot of crap is the word.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
that's true as well. I guess we're all pretty much in agreement then when it comes to this news story. Who knows when the game come out? That's our response.
All
we can do is
not
guess.
GameStop.
Or Fry's.
I mean, they might get lucky. Fry's. They might get lucky. It might be kind of close to what they're saying, but that's definitely not something we should be like taking as fact.
Yeah, and I think Jeff got on the forums as well, and he pointed towards that date, and a lot of people misconstrued that as if he would know more about the game,
because clearly Jeff follows the MMO scene very closely.
Yeah. But even beyond that, guy. I mean. Hundreds of hours.
He bought the lifetime sub to the STO. I mean, clearly he is hardcore. He's in on it.
I mean, I bet he's playing STO right now.
But he admitted, like, to those who did take that a bit off, he did admit that he actually doesn't have any yet. He has the same amount of ideas as any of the rest of us, which is as much as ArenaNet wants to tell us.
Yeah, so. It's all conjecture based on what little information we have that's out there and the state of the beta.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
what's the next topic?
Well, I guess the next news story is a woman inspired by the original Guild Wars fucking walks from Maine to California on foot with her poor dog because she was inspired by Guild Wars. And then she got put into the game.
What do you mean she was inspired?
So, Nude, do you want to describe this? Because I did read through the story.
By all means,
well.
Please do describe it, because I feel like I'm going to mess up again.
So basically, what she did is she was playing Guild Wars, and she... thought to herself, like, I would love to live in this world and, go to these people and help them and do these things. And then decided, why can't I just do that? So she decided to, she didn't simply just walk across the country, like as if that wasn't enough. She actually made up a quest list and an achievement list of different things.
Oh man.
Quests being things like, you know, go to Las Vegas or something like that. And achievements being like, you know, based on the states that she went to. And basically just traveled across the country on foot on this, what she, you know, claims to be an epic journey, which I think was fucking retarded.
Like, so she's by the way, it's, for those who don't know, Maine is like the furthest east coast of the United States.
Yeah.
California is the furthest west.
Maine to California is over 3,000 miles, and that's over five. Yeah, about 3,300, and I think it's something like 5,300 kilometers.
So, like, don't get me wrong. Like, taking this, like, one of the developers of Guild Wars, who was so, inspired by her having done this and made themselves feel great as a game developer, and that's great and everything, and they decided to include her in the game as a model. She'll be one of the Silvari with a little Silvari dog that kind of travels the world and sees the sights and stuff, and that's cool, I guess, but taking it outside of taking my video game goggles off and seeing the real world, that was the dumbest fucking thing somebody could ever do. Do you realize how many times she could have, like, how many things she could have gotten into on this trip? Just her and her fucking dog.
Hang on, so she went out on a quest and basically was a hobo? Am I
assuming she had, correctly? Like,
a hobo with goals. Like, yeah, that's the thing. Like, they didn't really go into detail, right. Like, I assume she brought money with her, and she, you know, probably or stayed in hotels and things like that. Like,
by the way, a hobo with goals is a pretty apt description of MMO characters.
Well, no, that's the thing I was going to say, though, is if she was going to do this fucking right, what she would have done is before she left her house, she would have taken all of her goddamn cleaning rags, taken her clothes off, wrapped those cleaning rags around herself, dropped everything she had on the floor, and walked out of the house as she should.
And then beat the shit out of animals along the way.
And just, like, walk up to random people. Like, some old lady's, like, gardening in her yard, and just walk up to her and, like, ask her if she needs help, and go down and help her, and then ask for money afterwards. Or maybe ask her if she has a spare shirt. Like, that would be the true MMO experience.
Wait, did she say that she was inspired by the original Guild Wars?
Yes. She was playing Guild Wars when this idea came to her.
Last year, yeah.
But how's this related? It's not really related, like, at all.
She liked Guild Wars. She liked to walk around in Guild Wars, I guess.
She liked
around in real life.
The experience of exploring Guild Wars and exploring Ascalon and everything and seeing all these sites just inspired her to want to do that in the real world.
She knows what happened to Ascalon in Guild Wars 1, right?
She did admit that she is very impressionable, so she assumed that something like this would happen eventually when she started playing the game.
What the fuck?
Why? Okay, so, well...
How do you assume that's going to happen when you start playing a video game? Right. What part of you goes like, I think after playing this, I'm going to go wander for 3,000 miles and hope I don't die in a ditch.
I didn't start playing Skyrim and then think to myself, like, one of these days, I'm going to go kill me a fucking dragon.
All right.
Because I'm fucking sane.
I can't believe it's me who's doing it, but taking off the cynic glasses, I think that was actually pretty cool.
Being cynical. No, that's being insane. That's insane.
I think it's really cool that someone got out there and did something like this.
Like, raped.
Looking at it, if she had better reasoning, I'd respect it more. But
yeah, like, poor dog. Yeah, that is neat. It's cool that somebody went and did this. I mean, that is cool and everything. But like I said, you have to look at it from the real world perspective and know that was just fucking dangerous.
Oh, it was dangerous. This is not the world you do.
Wait. Hold up. Did her dog get a say in whether or not it wanted to wander across the country?
Of course not.
No, because in Guild Wars, your pets go around whether the pet wants to or doesn't.
Yeah,
in fact, the pet dies many times during the process.
They're AI controlling
on it.
Not in her world, there's not.
She packed in some concepts.
That poor fucking dog.
I would have loved to see.
All you really need for a dog to be happy is a bit of meat in there.
I really wish she would have taken a picture of her quest log and her achievement list. I would have loved to have seen what those were.
But that actually sounds like it's like an evolution of the whole.
Oh right! I took a dump in the bushes. Achievement unlocked.
But yeah, it's an evolution of the whole like a modern What's that thing where if you visit a place, you can say, "Hey, I'm at this place," and you get
Foursquare. Yeah,
Foursquare. Yeah, it's like that. But
I would say it's a de-evolution.
I respect this more than that.
Of Foursquare,
for example,
because Foursquare is using technology to translate.
Yeah, but in the end, it's just encouraging people to get out more.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
see
yeah.
the world and
all my Foursquare unlocks are for Taco Bells.
All right, she has
so sometimes it's more successful than others.
Just to counter what you're saying. What?
But no, yeah, to take the scene glasses off, I think it's cool. I just thought, like, if she went at this from a different perspective, say, for example, she arranged a group of friends to go with her, so it'd be more safe.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, she brought a bunch of knives, so I guess that's okay.
Did she really?
Did she really?
Yeah, better.
She has, like, an equipment list. She has, like, a couple of pairs of clothes.
I actually didn't see that part.
Wow.
Yeah, she kept a blog of, like,
isn't that illegal? Catalog.
And this looks like quite a bit of, you know, equipment carrying around on a walk across America. Like, this person clearly is physically active, something I can never do here.
I'm going to walk across the country? I don't think you should do that. It's okay. I'm going to totally bring along a bunch of knives.
Oh, yeah, sure. She mentions knife once, an emergency radio, rope, clothespins, journal plus pens, first aid kit. Stove and cookware.
Whoa, is this her actual list?
Yeah, she has her blog.
She brought a portable stove with her.
She brought a stroller.
She doesn't have quests.
What?
Or I think she might have it in the
blog. I assume the stroller was to carry everything in.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so she was a crazy woman with a dog in a stroller. Well, covered in months worth of dirt.
I love this part. She brought two bras with her, and then in parentheses, by Ohio, I only had one bra for the rest of the trip.
What
happened in Ohio?
What happened in
that's
Ohio?
Like, that's halfway there.
Well, like, if that happened in Las Vegas, I'd understand.
Like
what the fuck happened
there.
In Ohio?
That is like, that would be, how long did the trip take? Like a month?
Or
3 months?
I don't know.
6 months.
But let's just assume it took 3 months, because that's how much it would probably take me if I was to plan it out and do it like a normal sane person. Which I guess she did. It looks like she has a bit of planning.
A normal
there.
Sane person?
Oh, yeah. There's definitely tons of planning in this.
Or a jet? There's these things in the sky that move
now, I mean,
really
say
fast.
You wanted... Okay, I need you guys to put yourself in the headspace that you want to go outside. All right, so that aside...
That
oh, yeah. Like, I'd say it takes around 3 months. That means you spent like 1.5 months with a single bra. That's kind of wrong.
That's gross.
That's disgusting.
Disgusting. Disgusting.
I also love that she separates out the gear for the dog. And one of the things she actually brought for the dog was poop bags.
Right.
Wait.
I guess you can't just have the dog shitting on
But
the
you're
floor.
On the road. Like,
yeah,
or,
like
do
you
yes.
just drop them in the trash can, I guess?
Yeah, could you just...
Yeah.
She bought shoes
anyway.
For the dog in Utah.
I guess the other half of the story is
she got
put her in the game.
Oh,
yeah, Arena Net put her in the game. Like one of the developers was inspired by her story and everything, and they put her in the game. Let me see if I can find the article again.
I mean, she went to the Arena Net headquarters in Seattle.
Yeah,
and she
yeah,
got
like
to
they
play
actually invited
the
her to the headquarters and learn
about the Mesmer before they announced it. That's
cool.
Yeah. I guess.
So if anybody wants to try to find her in the game, let me see here.
Does she wander in the game? Like actually,
it sounds like it. Like the character name is Amaranth. She's a Silvari. Character name is Amaranth, which is apparently her online handle. And her faithful plant dog Anna, and it sounds like she just wanders the world of Tyria to see what might be out there.
By the way, that plant dog looks badass.
Oh hell yeah!
Yeah,
but it's probably useless because it's a pet in Guild Wars.
Well, I was going to say is if I was going to make a ranger, I wouldn't mind capping one of those, but you're totally right. I wouldn't want to. I don't want to play ranger.
It's just going to die.
Yeah, it's just going to. Oh, God. We're just going to make people angry again.
And then I'm going to accidentally like try to revive your stupid dog in the middle of the game. And...
Let's move on from the ranger bashing. I think a lot of people
woman
are...
trying to anger us. Okay, let's continue on. Okay, so the final news topic, unless
and the only one I really cared about talking about,
right,
to be
is
honest,
name reservations from the original Guild Wars. So basically, ArenaNet announced about reserving your character names from Guild Wars 1 into Guild Wars 2, and then basically, they've just they're about to put in the system. So the only way you'll be able to get your Guild Wars name into Guild Wars 2 or have it reserved is to be logged in at least once between January 1st, 2012, and then the day they build the name reservation list, which they haven't told anyone yet. And then after that, your name is reserved for the first 3 days, which is the head start access period, so before the actual launch day and the launch day. So if you don't reserve your names by then, your character name is gone. Someone else can take it. What do you guys think about that?
Should I go first? I think it's fair.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Really? I feel like 3 days plus launch day is just a bit too short.
I feel like anybody who's that worried about making sure their character name is saved probably already has bought the game, and that won't be a problem.
Is anyone here actually going to use an existing character name again in Guild Wars 2? I'm not.
I am.
Really? Okay.
I have a really cool name.
One you really love. Like for me, like I think the best opportunity here is to make a name as soon as possible. You're restricted to. I think you should talk about the restrictions.
Oh, the restriction?
Yeah.
Well, the restrictions is if you do it after the Head Start access or the launch day, it's gone.
But even other than that, like because Guild Wars 1 worked on a two name system, so you had to have a first name and a last name.
Right. So there's only two names will be reserved. So like. The reservation, there's no reservation for one word names.
Oh, yeah.
They don't exist.
Yeah. It's not so much a restriction as it is, like, because the name reservation will, it's for everybody. This is just kind of highlighting how it's going to work, reserving your Guild Wars 1 character name. But anybody that's in the Head Start, when you create your character, that is reserving your name as well. So basically what they were saying with that was that there are currently no one name reservations because one names did, like, single word names didn't exist in Guild Wars 1. So like,
okay, so
they were letting
the
everyone
start
know,
and you make a character with a one name.
I mean,
yeah, like
point,
they were letting everyone
like
know, like, don't worry about it. If you're only going to want to use one word name, then you're fine. You don't have, you know, nobody has reserved that yet.
Right.
But at this point, it almost feels like just create the character name, and there you go. It's reserved. No one else can make it. It doesn't even feel like reserving. You're just creating the character name in Head Start Access, and then, oh,
yeah,
there you go.
That is pretty.
It doesn't seem like anything is being reserved. I feel like the reservation date should be.
I guess we should probably explain that, like, the reason why this is such a big deal is because the way the naming system is going to work in Guild Wars 2 is different than pretty much any other MMO out there. Where before any other MMO, like, you can reserve a name for your character, and that's you're the only one on your server with that name. In Guild Wars 2, you reserve a name for your character, and you're the only one on every server with that name. So it's even more specific to you.
Wait, so it's across servers as well?
It's across all servers, yeah.
Oh, because you have to guess. You have to guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be a bit strange.
Yeah, I could see that becoming a problem to just, like, come up with a name.
Oh, well, we were able to create names during, I guess it's a bit of a small audience.
Well,
the beta.
It's going to be hard, you know, 2 years from the release of Guild Wars 2 to create a name. I mean, you're going to have lots of.
That's why you should buy out as many character slots as you can and start coming up with names fast.
I'm worried that we're gonna see lots of XX names.
We're gonna have
because
no.
of the system.
Well, those are unique at least compared. Well, no, they're not. What am I saying?
No, they're not.
No, they're not.
No.
I'm gonna try to reserve every single anime character's name from my animes.
Woo,
I gotta reserve all their names. I gotta reserve Naruto.
I'm thinking about reserving Sephiroth and Legolas just
people.
So other people
can. Edward Cullen.
And be like,
I'll delete my
Naruto character if you pay me 50 gems or something
like
that.
Yeah,
like
I said, I'm going to reserve Sephiroth and Legolas. That way nobody can take them. So I don't have
I'm
going to
reserve Bella Swan.
I'm going to go into Guild Wars and create some characters right now. Thanks for that.
And Bella Swan's going to be a male char engineer with people.
So
should be a male norm.
You can totally make a Guild Wars 1 character now with a name you want to reserve for the next Guild Wars, with as long as it's a two name.
And they are going to give name. And they are going to warn the community, let them know beforehand, before the list is made, so that people, you know, if they want to, if they're waiting till the last second, they can go in and do that. But pretty much just
if you want
to
reserve your Guild Wars name, please log on, play with me. I need someone to play Guild Wars with, and do that. Yeah.
What are you in Guild Wars, Noob?
I am Bro Han Solo.
This is so sad. This is so sad. I'm really sorry for the entire audience. That's just what happened.
Do you feel bad at times based on your choices in life?
Because he does it. Because he keeps making them. He just keeps making them over and over again.
Yeah, I do. But but I'm not joking. Please hit me up on Guild Wars. I need help. I need help. I need to fill up my Hall of Monuments. If you have any, if you even have 80 gold, just donate it to me.
God damn it.
Yeah. Just send gold my way.
This is not a place to for or you to increase your personal wealth.
If you got a green mini pet, you know, send rare mini pets.
80 gold? Is that... You're panhandling for pennies. You realize
that, right? All right.
Have any spare plat?
So, going back on to topic, because you guys keep on derailing it.
No, disgusting. Not at all.
So, guess what happened this Monday for 7 hours?
Oh, we're moving to the second half of our podcast.
That is, unless you have some news to tell us about.
Did
they find a cure for your disease?
Oh, no, well, it's called Panadol. Wait, do you guys have Panadol over there in the States? Is that what you call it over there?
What the hell is that?
What is that?
It's a rare disease that you only find in Australia.
No, not
get
that disease.
Get it from a Komodo dragon. Name.
That's like our catch-all medicine that you just you buy off
Panadol?
The
shelf. Oh, so Tylenol.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, exactly.
You could have just said Tylenol. Goddamn.
I didn't even know it was called Tylenol until just then, but the way he said it made me think that, that's probably the same thing.
Panadol, you said?
Yeah, that's what we call it over here in the AUS. Good old Australia.
AUS.
We should really move on from...
You should, right? I mean, thank you. Thank you. Okay. Now I can move on. All right. So, no one answered my question. What happened this Monday for 7 hours?
I got to play a bit of Guild Wars 2 before I had to go to work.
Yes, it happened. I got to play 2 hours of Guild Wars 2 before I go to work.
Yes, 7 hours of beta stress testing on one day.
How was it?
Well, I'm asking the question here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was
showing the flow of this podcast.
Some people in the guild were saying that the performance felt the same. I felt like it actually felt a little better. I felt like I was actually getting a better frame rate. I was actually able to stream, which I wasn't able to do before.
Okay, wait. So who actually was able to get on for a decent amount of time? I wasn't. Rosen wasn't.
I got on for a few hours.
Well, I have a lot of colorful things to say about the. I really enjoyed it.
How long were you on for, though?
30 minutes.
Okay, cool. And so, Durin, how long were you on for?
I think I was on for a few hours.
Okay, well, yeah, okay. So I know he's going to lead this conversation, but yeah, passing it to Noob.
All right, so I guess I get first dibs. Wow, it was an interesting experience, that 30 minutes. So there was this one section of the game that I kept on being pulled into. It's like almost the game wanted me to keep on staying in this section, and it was the loading screens, because I spent a good 20 out of 30 minutes on loading screens, and then I got the Lion's Arc, and I blue-screened, and I gave up.
Whoa.
You blue-screened? Wow, yeah. I didn't have that problem.
I
just alt-F4'd the game.
I didn't have any problems, actually.
Well,
the
problems that seem to exist, is the, now I wasn't sure about Lion's Arch because I wasn't in that area, but Divinity's Reach also had the same issue where you would try to load into it, and it just wouldn't load. Like, mine just kept getting stuck at 95% and wouldn't go any further.
No, it's not even that.
The same was also happening with character story quests as well. When you try to load into one of those, you would just get stuck in there.
The loading screens look nice, but I mean, I don't want to spend 30 minutes of my beta and 20 of them in the loading screen.
Well, it was a stress test.
Yeah, well, it was weird, though, because those weren't issues that existed in the game during the actual beta event.
Oh, no, I had those issues. Not the loading screens, but the blue screens.
You blue screened during the beta?
Oh.
5 times.
Whoa, all right.
If you want to send me a computer... I'd appreciate that too. I mean, Guild Wars money, computers.
You are never
I'll take
hosting
any
again. You are never hosting. No, I heard. Well, I got on for about 2 hours, as I said earlier, and because the last time we left off, I think I've said this in previous podcasts, we were playing World versus World. I pretty much just straight up loaded into WVW, not a problem. Stood there for a couple of minutes talking on Guild Chat, moved over to the Mists, and everything was perfectly fine, ran smooth. I didn't notice any difference in performance. Apparently, a lot of guys saw, like, really... I think Durin, I'll pass back to you, but I think you got a huge difference in frame rates this time around.
Yeah, it seemed like the frame rate was a lot smoother. Like I said, last time when I tried to stream it, I was basically getting single-digit frames, whereas this time I was able to stream even with stuff going on, and for the most part was still getting at least, you know, 120 frames per second. So, it's, you know, definitely wasn't perfect, but it seemed like it was a lot better than it had been in the past.
Was it a case of there just being fewer people on the server and you just saw fewer people around, or was it just like the game actually performing better?
I would say it was probably the game performing better, because, I mean, there may have been fewer people in the zone, but, I mean, we had like 30 of us all doing an event, and it wasn't...
Oh, okay.
I mean, it was slowing down, but it wasn't like it was before.
Oh, wow. Oh,
but other people in the guild were actually saying that the performance was the same. So I think it's just kind of, it varied per person. So clearly they had to have made some kind of a change, but it didn't necessarily affect everybody.
Yeah. So did the servers go down? Like, was this a stress test? Were they actually changing stuff during the day, or?
Not that I saw. It seemed like the servers were up all the way through, and then at the very end they just crashed the server.
Then what the? So I guess they were just collecting statistics.
They must have made some kind of a change. Maybe my best guess is they got new hardware and they were testing it.
Okay, cool. Well, maybe. I don't know. It sounds like they may have, but you and I think the guys on Guildcast both have very similar impressions. I think to some extent they changed the build, so a lot of people were feeling. I don't know what hardware consistency there is between them, like who experienced any benefits, but a lot of people did experience better performance, especially guys who streamed. I think a lot of people said, I was able to stream way easier and record way easier from this beta.
Which my guess with that being that I think they're making steps towards better optimization, because the fact that I was able to stream better meant that it was taking less of a load on my CPU. So it seemed like they're working towards GPU optimization now, and hopefully that means with the next beta event, you know, it'll be even better then.
Yeah, actually, thinking about it, that's probably spot on, because the only problem with streaming would be the transcode, which would be on the CPU side. So yeah, it sounds like they eased up CPU loads, which is good. Like, any benefit in that direction is good, especially... How long has it been since the last beta? About four... It's been almost four weeks now.
Yeah.
But it's maybe they got new hardware, but it's pretty hard to speculate. I think we can move on from the boring side of it.
Well, I was going to say real quickly, I was going to guess that the hardware thing kind of makes sense also with the issues we were having trying to load into kind of city servers and the story stuff. Because if they're working on new hardware here, they might have been running into issues transferring from certain servers to others.
Oh, maybe.
And that's why things like Lion's Reach or Lion's Arch and
Lion's Reach. What game have you been? Diablo 3 again.
That might have been why we were having those issues. Because I was also having the same issues with, in fact, actually, I spent most of the beta actually just messing with an alt character, because my main got stuck in the load screen trying to go into Divinity's Reach. And every time I would log back in, it would still try to load me into there. But towards the end of the beta, I went ahead and tried it again, and it actually loaded me back out in the world again. So it sounded like they maybe took those servers down entirely so that it wouldn't get you stuck or something. I'm not sure what they did exactly, but...
Were you mainly on an Overflow server for a lot of... Like, were you on an Overflow server for any of it?
I don't believe I was, no. Now that you mention it, I don't remember... I could be wrong, but I don't remember that coming up at all. Cool. But then again, it's hard to get transferred to an Overload server or Overflow server when... That happens from the city, and the city server was down.
Oh, right. Yeah, but even beyond that, it's hard to say, because Overflow server is only really used when there's a shitload of people on, and it's hard to say how many people actually got on during that day and during the day on, because it was on a weekday during the day in America.
Yeah, it was a real weird time for them to decide to do a stress test on a Monday afternoon while most people are probably still at work.
Yeah, like, what kind of stress test is that if half the people can't even make it online?
Come
on. But yeah, that's the boring side of things. What did you play, Duren? Did you do anything interesting on the 7 hours?
Like I said, I played a little bit of my main for a little while until she got stuck trying to go into the city. And then I just messed around with my warrior for a while.
What level is your warrior?
Oh, man. Not very high, like 7.
How do you feel about the warrior? I'm a huge fan. How do you feel about the warrior class in general? What's your main, by the way? Was it Necromancer?
Necromancer. Yeah.
So how do you feel about the warrior?
It feels really squishy.
Like, really?
The survivability does not feel very high. At least with
melee ranged.
Melee.
Okay, there you go.
And that's the problem. That goes back to what we were talking about last week. I think once they buff the melee and make them a little better. It may not feel as bad, but like, I did one of the story quests last beta, and I had to corpse run basically through the thing. I just could not kill the enemies they wanted me to kill, and it was a solo story mission. I should have been able to finish it.
Wait, so what race were you playing? And what?
Norn.
Okay, so I did the same story. Which story missions do you? Did you get up to the one which is in the hills with the Minotaur spirit?
It was the one I kind of got stuck on there for a little while. Was one where you had to go into a cave, and you had to kind of kill some guys on your way in to retrieve something. I know this sounds really vague, but that's all I remember from it.
But that's the one you had problems with. So, what did you find was the difficulty? mainly, was it like being targeted a lot, or?
It was just the damage that I was taking was really, really high. More than I felt like I was fighting more guys than I should have been fighting in a solo quest.
Right. Well, that's because just for perspective's sake, what were you playing for the Necro?
What
was race wise?
Human.
Okay, so this is the first time you've done this Norn quest.
Yes.
Okay, because I think a lot of the earlier Norn quests, at least I felt this case, especially the ones where you're fighting a bunch of enemies at the same time, seemed a bit unbalanced a little.
Yeah, so it definitely
it would be a bit hard.
Yeah, it definitely felt like the quest balancing still needs some work, at least on the Norn side, because I didn't have those problems at all on the human side.
Yeah, when I started with the Norn, then I did a Char, and then I went to a human. I think the human felt like by far the easiest of the three. Not because
they're still a little they were still a little hard. Like I definitely died in a few of them, but I was able to get back up again and continue fighting and kind of work my way through the fight that way, which felt great. But in the Norn respect, like I just kept having to die and then go back to the checkpoint and then run in and basically just kind of try and just brute force my way to kill one guy so that he wouldn't respawn. And just keep doing that over and over again until I finally got it down to just one guy that I had to kill.
Maybe ArenaNet listened to my pleas and they made the warrior fair.
No, but he didn't play ranged. The broken weapon is the rifle.
I was using melee only.
Gimp it all around. Just so you
can. Oh, trust me, they definitely don't need to gimp the warrior anymore.
I played a warrior too. During like the hour I actually could play during the stress test, and I agree with you. The warrior, I had to dodge like fucking crazy every goddamn fight. It was
like you almost couldn't hit because you were dodging so much.
Yeah,
you're just trying to avoid damage. So
because
much
if you took a hit, like it would take a quarter of your health, and which is it feels really backwards for what's supposed to be a warrior class.
Yeah, like I think I was talking to a friend of mine. He hasn't been on the podcast before, but he's just started into the Guild Wars 2 thing. The stress test was his first time playing, so he played a Char warrior, and he felt exactly the same way. Essentially, with the warrior, I would describe it more as a multi-weapon specialist than I would a warrior, a traditional. Yeah, it felt more like a spiker or like a more of like a not a utility damage, not like a straight up tank damage kind of
class. No tanks in Guild Wars.
Yeah, I know, but just trying to use,
I hate to go back to Diablo 3, but I'm not saying make him like the barbarian. Like, don't make him ridiculous. But if you're going to call him a warrior, I feel like he should be able to take more than three hits.
How about Torchlight 2? Tell us about Torchlight 2.
Let's talk about Dark Souls. Souls.
Damn straight. Dark Souls is where it's at. But the warrior. But it's part of what they want. It comes down to exactly what we said last week. They want it to be that you can't tank in this game, and like a strong high armor class like the warrior guardian wouldn't be unkillable. But I did feel that a guardian was significantly more survivable.
I felt like my necromancer was more survivable than the warrior. A necromancer caster should not be able to take more hits than a warrior.
Hang on, doesn't the necromancer have the highest HP in the game overall?
Yeah, the necromancer has high HP, but it also has the Death Shroud mechanic, so it essentially doubles your survivability if you do Death Shroud properly. So it is a very survival class, and I think in PvP, the ArenaNet devs have said that the necromancer is the hardest to kill one-on-one. Why is it it's a caster class. Like, why is that the case? Why isn't the warrior at least a little bit less squishy?
Warrior should at least... I mean, they shouldn't necessarily be the hardest to kill, but they should be a lot beefier than they currently are, for sure.
Well, maybe not. Maybe not just in straight up HP, but at least like armor wise.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
I think that's the biggest problem is that because of the game, the way the game works, and how your stats are a huge deal. I feel like in that game that you get from gear and stuff, like those early quests are, I think, that much harder because the warrior seems to be, I imagine, so dependent on gear.
Yeah, it has,
and you don't have that gear yet.
It's very interesting that with the Guardian, in many cases, you start off with at least like pauldrons, some form of like heavy armor looking stuff. It's interesting that they made the choice that in the Warrior, you start off in just like plain chainmail.
Yeah.
No real like plate armor or anything like that. Like even the visual distinction has been moved to the point where they're trying to reduce the idea of the Warrior being survivable. It's just an interesting, a different way of approaching the Warrior, but perhaps not a very effective one. Because a lot of people go into the Warrior thinking that it'll be like the damage survivability class, but it's not.
Yeah, and I think that you know, if that's what they're going for, like maybe name it like the Marauder or something.
Yeah. I was going to say Dervish.
But giving it the Warrior Paragon name kind of brings a certain expectation to it, and they're really kind of failing the players on that by
they should call it Saber.
I entirely agree with Durin, anyway. In that, yeah, like in the original Guild Wars, the warrior was the highest armor and the by far the most difficult to kill aside from the monk, which was only difficult to kill because it was healing itself. So a warrior was
the most survival.
That's
why you make the warrior monk and everybody plays the warrior monk.
The unkillable warrior monk.
Every fucking game in Guild Wars.
Yeah, that's
Wars
why they had to
one.
Get rid of dual classes, because of the warrior monk.
Yeah, just OP, man. Just OP. Can't kill it. straight up, in this game...
But it worked good.
You can make very good warrior monks.
Are you sure we're talking about the correct game?
Yeah, warrior you can make monk? Really good warrior monks. Like, there was some... No, let's not go into GW1 balance talk. So, yes, I say that the idea of the warrior being... Because it was their decision to keep the same name on the class. And I agree. A Marauder, for example, would be an excellent name for it because that's far more close to what it really feels like.
Well, and it goes beyond just Guild Wars 1. Like, just in games in general, there is a certain expectation that comes along with the name Warrior.
Yeah. And the problem with Dervish, to address Wilson's point, is there is a class.
Dervish
was
tanks as well.
Yeah, in Guild Wars 1, the Dervish was a scythe user who only used scythes and was a caster.
They had a ridiculous health bonus.
Yeah, it was a caster that used a heavy weapon. But a warrior is somewhat closer to... Like, in the original, as a warrior, you can only use hammer, swords, and axes. And you had really heavy armor. So that's not what this is either. So again, like, a different
it's
name.
It's an assassin. Well, I guess that's where the thief is, so no.
Yeah, that's too close to the thief.
It would be a marauder. Like, that's I agree. Like,
the hell's a marauder? I don't know what that is.
Marauder is typically...
Like in StarCraft?
No, marauder is typically a hard-hitting, kind of glass cannon version of a warrior.
Okay.
Yeah. And if you're going off like real life terms, then a marauder is more inclined to use every weapon he can get a hand of.
Which totally fits that character.
Yeah,
because they can use fucking everything.
Yes, which is awesome.
Everything except for magic weapons.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so you played a warrior mainly. So what do you think of the Norn in general? Did you get to Holbrook?
Yes, that place is amazing. I took so many screenshots.
That is different from what other people have been saying.
Yeah, I thought it was actually...
This is somebody coming from... I never played Guild Wars 1. So I don't know what any of this stuff looked like beforehand. I don't know anything about the lore of the game.
No, Holbrook never existed.
Yeah,
None of these places existed except for Radisum.
Yeah, this has never been seen before. So go on.
But no, like I just... The sense of scale that they have there... Like I've talked about it before with other places too, but... I feel like they did it best there, and it totally fits the Nordic look, I feel like, or what you would anticipate it to look like, with kind of their big taverns they have in there that are kind of associated to the different spirits, the huge, massive, massive ice statues they have in front of each of them. Like, just I love the look of it. I feel like they did right by the Nordic look, where Blizzard completely failed on it in Wrath of the Lich King.
Okay, right. I thought you were going to say Skyrim, and I was going to disagree. But
No.
There is a... I actually agree with everything you said there. I think they really nailed the Nordic look. I just don't like that race as a interesting or compelling race. Like, I just thought they were a bit two dimensional in their obsession.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And... yeah, when it comes to your story stuff, the Nord specific story stuff, absolutely, it's totally two dimensional. It's just all about. It reminds me a lot of like the orcs from WoW. It's all about glory and killing. I mean, that's pretty much what
which is
what sums
a little up. Bit of honor thrown in for
good yeah things, yeah so, totally yeah. Honor through killing.
But no, yeah, I thought it was freaking cool. Like, as soon as I walked in, aside from okay, so I agree with you that you walk in and the sense of scale is absolutely gorgeous. It's huge in Ulbrich. But I also thought that it was like, okay, so I hate to rewind twice in the same statement, but my first criticism was that Ulbrich felt a bit empty because it had no housing. Like, it was just a bunch of halls and nothing, right?
Yeah, I can see that.
I'll let you address that point and your thoughts on that point first, because I actually know what the follow-up and the response to that is, and I remembered it after I talked about it last time. But what's your thought about the emptiness of Ulbrich?
Honestly, like, it didn't even really occur to me, actually, until you mentioned that this is the Norn equivalent to Divinity's Reach.
Yeah, it's like
this is supposed to be their town. And yeah, you're right. There's no housing. There's zero.
Yeah, there's nothing there. It's just fireballs and then just empty space.
Yeah, and then the big structure area kind of overlooking all the halls.
Yeah,
where kind of all those people are all standing. But like, where the fuck do they live? Like, I did.
Yeah, so that's the part I'm going to address. But aside from that, what did you feel about you went to Durini's Reach, and it's a living, breathing city, or at least it feels like one when you go there.
Yeah.
When you entered Ulbrich, did you actually? It's fun to see that this was the first time you thought of it. Were you actually impressed with a lack of people? Did you feel there was no one there, or did you feel like it was its own kind of thing? Like,
you know, honestly, when I went there, I was so impressed by the scale and the style of everything. I literally didn't even think about the number of people were there. There are quite a few people there, which brings it kind of back to like there are quite a few people there. Where do they all live?
Yeah. So the response to the Norn thing is the Norn are actually nomads. So I only remembered this after we reported that Impressions podcast. But the Norn actually only ever meet at Ulbrich, but they go off and do their own things.
Oh, it's like a gathering hall.
Yeah, so that's exactly what it is. So it's a grand gathering place for the four factions of the Norn, and then the great meeting hall with the big dragon's tooth in the middle of it. So the Norn actually, yeah, they forage, they live on their own or very small groups, and actually, if you look at the Guild Wars 2 map, they actually inhabit pretty much the entire upper hemisphere. So it'd be equivalent of how much space Canada takes up, and beyond that, upwards towards the North Pole. Okay. So that's the Norn. They're spread out, and they only come over there to meet or to challenge the Dragon Tooth. But
Canadians.
Well, see, that makes a lot more sense then. It makes sense why they went the direction they did. Like, aside from even just the housing, with just the sense of scale of everything that is there, because otherwise, like that would. I mean, like I said, I didn't even think about the fact that would be their equivalent to Divinity's Reach.
Exactly.
Without that sense of scale, without these massive statues and these massive taverns, like, you really would just kind of have this very small group of buildings, and that'd be about it.
Exactly. It'd be that and an empty space around
it. Yeah, yeah. I will say, though, one thing that really bothered me was when you look at all the different statues that are associated to each of the different spirits, the bird one is the only one that cannot physically make sense. Because it's just this massive ice statue. And when you go behind it and look at it, like, all the rest of them are, you know, have stands on the ground. They're planted firmly on the ground. They could have been done. That one is up in the trees.
Maybe it's just kind of up inside the trees.
Right. What if it's magic?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
there was no indication of magic in there at all. There was no.
What if it's just
there
wires?
Were no spell effects around this thing.
But where is this being suspended from? It's above.
Yeah, exactly. It's like directly above the trees. So that was one thing that bothered me a little bit. Like, I thought it was so amazing, like the kind of attention to detail they've had in this game, and with, you know, those statues being as massive as they are and how they were done, like, they all looked completely feasible, even though they were completely ridiculous. And then came across that one, I'm like, really, guys? Yeah. Like, you couldn't build a stand or like a branch that it was standing on or something?
Or something. Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a raven. It could, like, how about if it's perched as opposed to be wings are spread? But
yeah, yeah, definitely.
No, yeah, that's cool. I liked Holbrook. I'm happy to see someone in here is the Holbrook champion. You're a Holbrook champion, by the way, now. I'll be the guy who disses Holbrook, and you can be the guy who defends it.
Okay.
But aside from that, did you start from zero during this event, or did you revisit one of your characters?
I revisited a character I had made like a couple hours before the end of the weekend event. So, of course, upon logging into him, all of his gear was broken and he was in a zone that was far higher than his level. So that was a lot of fun trying to get back down to Holbrook area and try to quest down there again. He was like level like 4 or 5 whenever I hopped on him.
How'd you like the starting Nolan experience?
It was pretty good. I think I still enjoyed the I think this goes down to just, you know, the race stories, but I felt like the human one was a lot more interesting.
Hmm. So do you remember what happened, what the actual plot was when you left off? Because I don't remember the ice cave bit, but do you remember
for the Nord?
What you were being asked to do?
No, I don't even remember.
Yeah, it's a case of there's a couple of things in the Norn stuff. Like, for me, the Norn big draw wasn't the personal story quests. It was the random side quests in the Norn. Yeah, like, they actually really have cool, really interesting things.
Yeah, the kind of commuting with nature spirits and that kind of thing. That was all really cool. Part of the reason why I don't remember what the story stuff was because, again, like, during the stress test, the story things were kind of broken. So I was continue any of them. So I was just running around doing events as well. So,
what would you say was your favorite event that you did during that day?
It was probably actually when I was on my human. It was one I had done before, but it was nice because I was actually having a chance to stream it and show some friends the game. They hadn't really seen it in action yet, and it just so happened that one of the first events I got into, it was just this massive, like 30 plus people all doing this, and they got to see kind of the craziness that this game actually can offer.
Oh, cool.
Great, great.
Well, which one was it? You didn't say it.
I think that one was, it was in the human area. It was the centaur one where the centaur were like coming out of the mine and attacking the farm area and stuff.
Okay, right. Yeah, the classic one.
Yeah.
Yeah, doing all the footage. Yeah, that's pretty cool. It was all right. I don't think I experienced that one myself, but I've seen it enough times that I know what you're talking about. I think for me, I didn't get a chance to talk about it the last time we did the Norn starting area. There was this quest where if you go up the mountains, probably northeast of Holbrook, there's a bunch of mountains there. If you go up, and there's one of the personal stories takes you that direction. There's a little part where there's a little house in the middle of nowhere, and around it is a bunch of holes in the ground, and you're like, what the fuck's happening? So you walk in that direction, and there's these two, like a caravan is standing there, and they go, the wife, I think it is, goes, I'm a devout of the rabbit spirit. It's not a very popular spirit, but, you know, the rabbit spirit, it's my thing. So essentially, the offering to the rabbit spirit is to get like these bowls of something, I forgot what it was, and take it to her so she can like offer it to that rabbit spirit. So, the thing is, you're supposed to grab them and then they spawn around the place.
You know, Duke Nukem would make a pretty good Norn.
So you walk around the place and there's the holes in the ground and you pick them up and you're supposed to take it to her. But the caveat is, whenever you pick them up, all those holes actually are like pretty much like whack-a-mole. So rabbits come out of them. And they run towards you, and they somehow knock you over and take the shit out of your hands and run away. So you have to run over, grab one, and try like weave through the holes, like full on like football style, trying to like get to her, grabbing like trying to get this package to her. And you have to do it a bunch of times. So there's a bunch of dudes, about like 5 or 6 dudes, all trying to do the same quest. And you'd just be swearing. It would just be swearing into the local channel, all caps. Oh my god, these fucking rabbits! Because you grab up and you get almost there, and the rabbit, a tiny little rabbit, kind of a little hole out of nowhere, and knock you over, take your shit, and run. It'd be so frustrating.
Just bowls your ass that over.
Quest sounds awesome, but I'm not gonna lie. When you were first describing it, the only thing I could think of was like this rabbit spirit being like the hipster spirit. When she explains, like, oh, I'm a rabbit spirit. You probably never heard of us. We're real, real small.
It's a pretty indie spirit.
Yeah.
But yeah, it actually turned out to be a really fun event. So, but the best part is
AAA mainstream spirits.
I'm shaking my head right now. But when you finish that event, it actually has a follow-on event where the wife also goes, there's this monster that I think exists, but no one believes me. So can you find the evidence of its existence? I'm like, okay, sure. So we go around and these like bits of fur all around the place. And she's like, okay, get these bits of fur, bring them back to me, and I'll analyze them to see if there's evidence of this monster. I will not ruin the rest of the quest. If you see that quest in the mountains, do it. It is the most hilarious quest. It's like a three event chain, and by the end of it, you'll be cracking up. So I won't ruin it here. But yes, if you see the rabbits, do that. Then wait around a bit for the second event to spawn.
Tell me about the rabbits.
I will say there was one really neat event. I'll keep this one short, but there was one really neat event that I did that I think had I had a little bit better understanding of what we were doing exactly, I probably would have enjoyed more. But it was pretty neat. It was down on the coast, again, kind of in the human area. It was on this like kind of harbor town. There were these sea creatures. Again, I don't know the lore, so I don't know what the fuck these things were called. They were like serpent people.
Great.
Yes, thank you. Were attacking the city and like trying to take the citizens for slavery. And so you were
OKM.
Yeah, so you were
island. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, you were supposed to try to like defend it and everything, and then like once you finished it, then the second part of that was you had to swim out to their little keep area where they were holding the slaves and like kill them, get their keys and free those slaves so they can come back to the town. Right. So that was actually really cool, cuz it actually gave me a chance to check out some underwater combat for once.
Oh wow. Oh, did you do that this time around?
Yeah, did that one a couple of times to mess around with the underwater stuff.
That's straight on. Yeah, what do you think of underwater? We didn't get a chance. You didn't really have much of an exposure to it last time we talked about it.
Yeah, I still don't feel like I have much of an exposure. I only unlocked like two abilities, okay. So I didn't get a ton of exposure to it.
Were you ranged or melee underwater?
I want to say it was melee.
Okay.
Even though I was necromancer, which was weird.
All right. Yeah, it was a spear. I think it was a spear. You still get a spear.
I was using a trident, actually.
Okay.
But no, it was actually, it was pretty decent. I was real surprised. Like, one of the issues with underwater combat in a lot of MMOs is the, kind of the issue of depth. Like, you have a real hard time kind of judging how far the enemy actually is away from you.
Right.
Especially for melee. And I didn't really feel like that was as much of an issue in this one. It seemed like they I don't know what they did, or maybe I just had, like, for some reason had a better understanding, but it seemed like I more easily was able to know when I was within melee range of them than in other MMOs where I tend to, you know, try to go into melee range and next thing you know either I'm too far away or I've just swam through them and not realized it or something weird like that. So I think they did a really good job with that. And the combat, again, feels just as smooth as it does on the ground.
Oh, so you actually didn't have an issue with... did you have any issues with the... getting close to them, like knowing how you're gonna, if you're gonna hit them with your melee weapon, all that kind of stuff that you do with
No, that's what I was saying. Like in most MMOs, I tend to have that problem, and it didn't seem like I really had that in this. I said, I don't know what they did differently, or
how
maybe
Z axis did that because last time we talked, like the big thing was underwater, the Z axis, and trying to get into range of them was the biggest issues for. I think it was Robbie Mac.
Yeah,
the Z axis, does that affect your melee at all?
It might have affected it. I don't recall exactly because I was pretty much hitting everything head on.
That means it worked out.
Yeah.
I mean,
you're not gonna be able to like attack something that is above you. I mean, obviously you're not gonna be able to attack that, but it's really easy to get yourself into position to do so.
Okay.
I noticed the same thing as far as the during the little bit of underwater combat I did during the beta weekend. Where, yeah, I never had a fight where they were either directly above or directly below me. I wonder if ArenaNet may have actually put in somewhere in the enemy's AI to actually get on the same
level as you. Right. Yeah, because that could be, because like I said, you know, in other MMOs that's always been a problem, but in this one I wasn't sure what they had done differently, but it didn't seem to be, so that would make a lot of sense. Cool. They just kind of automatically move themselves in line of your attack when they're targeted to you.
It's just kind of like another one of those little things that ArenaNet put in that you didn't quite realize like was a problem until you actually saw their solution to it.
Yeah.
Oh no,
yeah,
I knew it was a problem. Underwater combat's always all right, fair enough. MMOs.
All right. Well, how about this then? The solution was dead simple, and it's
yeah, exactly. Like
it's kind of scary that no one thought of it before.
Exactly, exactly.
Oh, if they did, they just didn't implement it well enough before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rawson, did you have any experiences, like a favorite experience from this one you want to share? Or
because
I've played it in like 20-25 minutes.
Like I enjoyed I played the Char Warrior, and I got into one event. This is pretty early on, where basically you have to fight this Flame Legion Shaman.
Yeah,
and it's a huge boss fight. There were dozens of players, and it was
you're
just
like level 5, right?
Yeah, you're like level 5, and here's this huge boss that'll like two-shot you, and oh my god, it was ridiculous, amazing, and just pure chaos.
See, I
really like that.
We came at it from the wrong angle. I want to get your how you got into it from your perspective. But when we did it, I think it was me and Shav the World, and I was like level 2, and he was like level 4. So we kind of and Tarkin was level 2, and he was with us as well. We kind of just rocked up, and he'd been somehow lured to the level 3 zone. So it was just like everyone was just dying. Just everyone's just dying left and right because there's like little level 2s or 3s getting this event marker. It's like, oh, what's that over there? Oh. And we're walking up to it and just the freaking level 5 Flame Legion champion just destroying fools. But yeah, so where does it start? Like, how did you get into that quest? I don't remember.
Well, there was an event before it where you have to destroy, I want to say it was their power sources. You have to actually go into their cave, destroy these power sources of theirs, and then they'll go ahead and summon forth the shaman.
Oh, cool.
And that's basically it's
so you were there for the whole thing?
Yeah, I was there for the whole thing.
Oh, man. So that's actually an event chain. So you actually went down to the cave and killed all the shit, and then they went, oh, yeah, we'll summon our shaman, and then he came. And
yep,
just started wasting fools.
Yep.
You know, those chains are probably the coolest fucking thing in the game, too.
I agree.
Like, in other MMOs where they do, like, kind of quest chains, they never get to the scale that this does.
No, not at all. And again, at level 5, and you're already doing a huge boss fight.
Yeah.
Like, it really makes you wonder, like, what kind of insane shit am I going to be doing in the
80.
Upper levels? Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be
It still boggles my mind that this game is actually going to release with a level cap of 80. I feel like an MMO hasn't done that, if ever, it hasn't done that in a long time.
Yeah.
You tend to see a lot of MMOs these days launching at, like, you know, 30, 40, or 50.
Yeah. Well, a level is kind of like an arbitrary number, really. They could just extend the time between levels, still have the same amount of content, but just say, hey, we're having only 40 levels instead of 80.
They could, I feel like the way the game is structured, like, that's definitely not the case this time around. They apparently must have a shitload of content in this game.
Exactly.
Because you don't know it particularly fast.
Yeah, well, I not even that. I think I felt that you level at a very defined and deliberate rate. I think you pretty much level at about a level every an hour to an hour 20 minutes, which means that getting to level 80, because they actually released a graph of this quite a while ago, because this is actually intended on their end. They want it to be about the same amount of time between levels, so you don't feel like you're lagging behind and you don't feel like you're getting too far ahead forward. So that means about 80 hours are planned, like straight up. And
that's pretty short.
At minimum 80 hours, not including redoing quests, I mean, events, which I did, or redoing dungeons,
PvP,
or doing hard modes of dungeons, or doing PvP,
that's
or doing World vs. World.
Everything. There's probably a lot you haven't touched.
Oh, yeah, that's just to get to level 80,
yeah,
let
totally.
Alone...
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
just
yeah,
leveling
yeah.
to 80, not even, like... Because obviously you're not going to be 80 only at the end of the game. You're going to have other time.
Well,
the other interesting thing, though, is at any time, like, if you're at, like, you know, level 50, for example, you're not limited to only, like, the level 50 content. You
yeah.
can go back
yeah.
and still be able to do it and still have
like
it
could,
be meaningful.
You can be a level 50 human and decide to go and start doing the Char Starter Zone, and it'll
exactly.
be 100%
yeah.
meaningful to you.
Yeah, because you'll be scaled down to the level, and it won't feel shit, because everything will feel like the enemies being difficult, and you'll
yeah.
have access to all the stuff
like,
you,
I mean,
you unlocked.
There's a certain bit of a suspension of disbelief there.
Yes.
Because you're going to be all decked out in this crazy looking gear and fighting little boars. So, I mean, you have to, you know, put that aside, but
yeah.
it's still going to be a lot of fun and be another option of a way to play through that game.
definitely.
But yeah. What I was going to say, too, is, like, 80 hours might sound like it's short for an MMO in terms of, like, you know, leveling from, you know, beginning to end. But, yeah. I mean, think about it this way. Like, with other MMOs, when they say, you know, it's 200-plus hours or 500 hours or whatever the number they throw out about how many hours it is, what are you doing during those hours? Like, how many of those hours are actually fucking fun?
Exactly. You don't get level 5, 30 people boss fights in other games.
Yeah, like, that's one thing I at least say about Guild Wars 2 is, like, yeah, it may end up being close to 80 hours from 1 to 80, but, like, every hour of that is going to be so much fun if any of this that we've played so far is any indication of the rest of the game.
Agreed. In every way.
It takes about 3 hours, if you know what you're doing, to max out to, like, level 20 in the original Guild Wars. And the problem with that, I felt, was...
3 hours? It took about 30 seconds. You could just roll the PvP character.
The starting area. The starting area takes a bit longer.
Okay. He means, like, rolling a new character and then power leveling to 20.
Okay. Yeah.
A problem with that, I found, was there was no really goal after you hit level 20. Like, I'm actually fine with grinding. It gives me a goal that I need to
get. One of those.
So I would be, like, leveling all these characters. I'd level this character to level 20. I'm like, okay, let's level another character to level 20. Mm. And then I would never touch these characters ever again. It's just like, my goal was to level to level 20.
Sounds
and
like Star Wars.
If you gave me a higher level cap, I will literally be burning through hours leveling characters.
So what do you feel that, how will this impact you? How will this new level 80 and deliberate leveling system impact you?
I guess I would have more hours in Guild Wars 2 than I will have in Guild Wars 1.
And you just hopefully enjoy them more, I guess.
And it will be one thing, experience.
One thing that immediately reminds me of, the idea of, you know, having it be so deliberately paced, is it reminds me a lot of pen and paper games where usually like, at least in Dungeons and Dragons and the modern editions, it's done in a way where it will take you about 10 encounters to level up. So it's that sort of deliberate pacing to it.
Yeah. Having a good DM. It's like having a good DM for a game. And just works. But I think we are running over time. Noob, take us to the next topic.
Oh, all right. It's me, your host, who hasn't been talking for a lot. But I'm back, and I'm going to give you your next topic. When do we think Guild Wars 2 will come out? Or actually, no. We'll do that later. When is the next beta? When does the next beta happen? Yes.
I'm going to go with a week from 2 weeks from now. I think if it was going to be next weekend, they would have already announced it.
Yes.
So, but we're coming up. It's been close to a month, so I'm going to guess that a week from or 2 weeks from this weekend will be when the next event.
Okay. I'll put in $40 for that.
So it's currently the 18th/19th, depending where you are in the world. I'm, you know, Australian, so fuck you.
Not really a part of the world.
So next weekend is the 26th to 27th, and then after that, it is another month, the second and the third. So we're actually looking at a month without a beta, really, this time around. I think they're going to skip over May.
Right, how much money are you putting on that?
I'm none. I'll give you 2 silver in game.
Are you serious? 2 silver? No,
that is pretty much all the money I'll have. But
1,800.
It's a king's ransom.
1,000. No, you're gonna 2 silver. And then your character. No, no, no. Your character's gonna reset, and the second you earn 2 silver, I'll take it from you.
Okay, done.
That's what's gonna happen.
Done. If they have an event this month, I'll give you 2 silver. Yep. As soon as I earn it.
That would basically be next weekend.
No, no, no. It's not even as soon as you earn it. You'll keep on giving me every time you earn 1 bronze.
No.
Or 1 copper, you'll be sending it my way. You'll sell all of your gear.
I sense you have patent
here. You'll run around naked, and I will take your money.
Imagine all the fast travels he could buy.
I feel like if they were going to do one this next weekend, the latest they could announce it would be like, what, maybe Tuesday?
Yeah. Yep. About there. Well, assuming last time they had to make sure everyone kept the client downloaded. I'm not sure what the update process would be if they're changing their entire back end. So if it's, for example, only like a 200 meg download, they could possibly announce it later. But,
well, no, they can't, though, because there might be people who have since pre-ordered it since the last stress.
Oh, that's true.
And so they need to offer them time to be able to download it. So, I mean, the ability to download it needs to start at least by Thursday. So I feel like the announcement has to happen by Tuesday or Wednesday at the latest.
Yeah. And it's pressed. Like, you have to have people put aside the time to do the weekend.
So you don't do what the Old Republic did, which is, here, have a 3-day buddy key. P.S. Please download our 20-gigabyte client.
Yeah. Pretty much. Or waiting until Friday to actually, during the beta, waiting until Friday to actually allow people to start downloading the beta client. And then tell them, all right, you have it until, you know, midnight Sunday night.
I would say during the first half of June. That would be my best guess. Which is,
really? Wow.
I would say first week of June.
Yeah.
Whatever. I want my two. So if I win, I get 2 silver from all of you.
I don't think I agree to that.
You guys can split 2 silver amongst yourselves.
I don't think you actually know my in-game handle, so...
We'll know.
I'll find you. It's probably Rawson or Kermit the Frog.
Nope.
Kermit 117?
No.
Kermit Rawson.
So when do you think it'll come out? So you actually do think it'll come out next weekend?
Next weekend.
That's next month.
That's the first half of June. Yeah. Yes.
Oh.
This is why you're winning this bet.
I was just agreeing with Durin, because that's 2 weeks from now makes
you agree. Sense. You agreed with me, and then you bet against Senek, even though he also agreed with me.
I was confused with the date there. I thought that was end of May. Right. Well, moving on to the next topic is shut your fucking mouth. Okay.
I guess we can move on to listener feedback.
Guild Wars 2 will come out.
Let's
discuss this again.
Yeah, we kind of talked about that a little bit earlier.
We touched on it, but just to put our stuff in stone, I think it'll be actually coming out around November. I actually don't think it'll be in September. Yeah, I think they'll try to make it September, and they'll try to make it et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, but they'll only ever release it in November.
They'll try to make it this week, but it won't come out, so it'll come out next week. No, it's going to come out late July or early August. That's when I think it'll come out.
Okay, I just think there's a lot of stuff in there that they have to balance.
It's sometime
that's what I'm kind of worried about.
After July, but sometime before August.
That's why, the mid August that I was talking about earlier, like even that, I'm a little bit unsure about, just because like there are two races that are not even in the beta yet.
Yeah. Like they've tested them out, but no one's they haven't stress tested them essentially.
Right.
Yeah. So I mean, all the classes are in, so in terms of like balance issues and stuff, like that all can be taken care of.
Pets need to be really, really looked at again. But
yeah. But like the biggest thing is, you know, like we were talking about earlier with the Norn starting zone, like clearly that place is not balanced correctly for solo play in terms of the solo missions. And so like the stuff for these two races that aren't in yet, like that needs to be looked at.
Yeah, that needs to be looked at. I know that a lot of people, including myself, don't really want to play a Silvari or a Sura before release, because we do want Silvari. Some surprise. Because I'm probably going to play Silvari second, if not first. I'll probably play Human first. But yeah, so that is one side of the argument, but they really do need to have an idea of what the balance is in those areas, because I guess they could take the lessons from what they've learned here, but that's not the same as actually stress testing an area.
Yeah, definitely. So I mean, like I want to say mid August, but that I would almost say come back to me after this next beta event, because if that stuff is in, if those races are in this next beta event, and okay, we get a chance to actually stress test that stuff, then absolutely, right. I could say mid August we should be able to do that. If this next beta event they are still not in, then I'm definitely thinking more in the line of fall sometime.
Right.
I am putting in 1 gold on my bet. Sometime after July, but sometime before August. It's never going to come out.
The Metaton.
No.
There are people out there that would agree with you.
Late July, August. Okay. All right, that's probably the running public opinion at the moment. But
now
I actually think it's
wrong. Everyone needs to bet 1 gold.
Rawson, what's your?
Probably September, and even then, I think that's assuming things go really swimmingly. If there's still any sort of problems, and like Durin said, I mean, if they still don't have the other two races ready to go by the next beta test, I can't really see it. Anything, I might have to move that back to November.
Yeah, which is where I'm a pessimist.
Yeah, that's kind
of
how I feel.
I mean, of course, that's immediately assuming though that they really, really want to take their time. It's kind of ironic because.
That's true.
Because even if they did release the game right now, it would still probably be far and away better than most other MMOs have been on release.
Yeah. It would be the one to play at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. And that's part of the reason why I feel like they want to get this out as fast as they can while still making it as stable as they can. Because they want to make sure they get this out there before, you know, WoW gets their expansion out. And before a lot of those fall releases start to hit, because it's not just about being the MMO to play. They want to make sure they are the game to play. They want to make sure that they release during a week where they don't have any major competition to go up against, whether it be MMO or just mainstream games.
Sometime between July and August.
But there's definitely something to say about releasing it stable but not balanced. Because most MMOs do it, like, do neither. They release it unbalanced and unstable. So if they're able, even if they're able
and
to...
And then they promptly die in 6 months. Weird how this keeps happening. It's
weird.
Almost like a trend.
So if they
if I have to, I will buy a million copies of Guild Wars so this game keeps on damn going.
It is really good. I really hope that. Anyway, but there's something to be said for getting it stable, getting it out the door, and then fixing that shit post. Because, as Durin said, it's still a really good game now, and they really do need to get out of the way of, for example, Modern Warfare 3 and... No, sorry, Black Ops 2. Black Ops 2, that's the one.
Modern Warfare 3 already came out.
Yeah. That other military shooter that's coming out again this year.
The other gray shooter, you know, the one that's all gray?
That is incorrect to call it a military shooter. It is by no means military. It is a shooter.
Actually, I would say that Black Ops is the most military shooter.
No, he would say armor would be the most. You're talking about an armor player. No, don't get into this.
Isn't that a bit more of a military simulator?
You still shoot guns.
Yes, you still shoot guns. Stop. Do not argue with either of us about Arma 2's superiority. All right,
God
buddy.
Damn it.
All right, that other topic. Gray military action game.
Yeah.
Although I kind of wonder, like, is there really any sort of crossover between the people who would play Guild Wars 2 and the people who would buy Black Ops, whatever the
absolutely.
Fuck it is. I don't know.
Even if it's like a 10%
that's what you have to remember
crossover.
About games like that's what you have to remember about games like Modern Warfare or, you know, the Call of Duty series in general is you tend to just associate those games to just nothing but, you know, dude bros. But the numbers that they sell, the numbers that
you're
they
not
sell,
a dude bro. You are not a
no,
dude
you're
bro.
Brohan. You're Brohan.
I'm Brohan Solo, and
you can call yourself a dude bro, but that's like putting on a fancy shirt and saying I'm pretty. I'm not pretty.
I am pretty though.
But with the numbers they sell with those games, like, those games are covering a vast array of people. So there's absolutely some sort of a crossover.
But
there
is
are
it
people...
really the MMO audience? I'm not sure.
Even if it's a 10% crossover, as I said.
The bigger thing they would have to compete with would, of course, be the WoW expansion. That is their primary competition, because both of them are targeting 90%, I guess you could say, of the same people.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe. And they want to make sure
some
the
large
same subsection. Yeah.
And I actually wonder, would I was just thinking about this, would it actually be better for them to try to do like every other MMO has done and release before the expansion? Or would it be better to possibly wait a month or two after the expansion and then release? Because the problem with releasing before a WoW expansion, I mean, the biggest issue, or the biggest game they had the issue with it was Warhammer. You release before a WoW expansion, and sure, you get some massive numbers initially, and then that expansion comes out, and everybody fucking leaves your game.
Yeah.
Right. Whereas if you release a month or 2 months or whatever after after the release of that expansion, a lot of people have gone through, they've seen the content, they've seen whether this is something they want to continue doing, and then you offer them a substitute.
So there's two sides to the argument. One side is releasing later obviously puts them into the other competitors in that time period, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So you are avoiding a bit of, as you said, like a lot of people will come back off Mr. Pandaria and then be able to move on. But yeah, that you are still competing for their dollars with other people's dollars as well. And as we said earlier, that marketing space is just as important in a lot of cases as who's playing what.
Well, and like you were saying earlier too, like even beyond marketing space, just the mind space.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you don't want to be releasing around the same time as, like we were saying, some of these bigger titles like Black Ops and everything, because a lot of people are just going to have those things in their mind. They're going to have those standard big console and sometimes PC releases that come out in the fall. That's what's going to be in their head, not Guild Wars 2.
Yeah. So then the other side of this argument is, well, Guild Wars 2, unlike a lot of those others, is a buy-to-play game, not a subscription-based game.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have them buy the game, and you have your dollars. like, from a readiness standpoint, that's essentially the same as if they bought it at any time or other time. And also, they can come back anytime they want. They wouldn't be going off subscription then having to convince them to go back.
That's true, too, yeah.
They'd be already there and paid. So there's two, like, those two are really good reasons for them to get out on the time where they'd have the most mind space and just the biggest numbers they can.
I didn't think about the buy-to-play thing. Like, that definitely makes a difference in this because, like you were saying, like, they can release the game before the WoW expansion and not have to worry about losing subscription numbers, which is what tends to kill those other MMOs. So, yeah, you're right. That probably would be best is definitely get out before that.
I would bet if that was what they're aiming for, I would get out before the WoW expansion. But if they're aiming for perfection, I'm still betting on the November release. So.
I mean, the WoW expansion will also probably be WoW problem.
Really? I thought it was a September kind of release.
They haven't said, but given how the beta's been going, it's going to release sooner rather than later.
Just release
it in the goddamn summer and don't
go through World of Warcraft. They've already gotten the beta up to level 89 content. Oh, wow. So there's very little content left for them. I mean, basically at this point, there's going to be kind of the last zone. The level 90 talents and then raids.
Well, wait. You said up to level 89. Yeah. In other words, they don't have like the heroics and the end game raid stuff ready.
Right.
Yet.
They don't have it tested.
That's all they got left.
That's essentially the other half of the expansion.
Yeah. That's what people want.
True,
to
but at the same time, Blizzard has gotten very good at doing that stuff. So it doesn't take them nearly as long as it does other companies to test that stuff.
This is ArenaNet's first real MMO. This team in ArenaNet's first MMO. So
Guild Wars is as good a game as it's ever been.
We don't have to deal with it.
have another raid where you don't stand in the fire and.
Blizzard can't go bankrupt because I need my Diablo.
Okay. StarCraft. Moving away from Blizzard.
Shut your damn mouth.
They're having a hard enough time keeping those servers up without being bankrupt.
I've got 4 minutes, so you guys will probably have to finish this without me. Remember to plug the Twitter and the Gmail, but I want you to move on to discussion topics. The listener feedback.
The listener feedback.
Yay. All right. It's in the Google Doc.
It is in the
Google Doc. I guess we should probably just read it for people listening at home.
All right, so this listener feedback comes from Elite Spy, who was nice enough to put... This is what happens, people. If you just post on the thread, and then we'll just plug you. That's how simple it gets.
So far, it's one-to-one.
God damn it, next week is going to be insane. I hope so.
Right,
literally three people comment. All right, so traveling in World versus World is just how it should be. There should be a penalty to dying in World versus World other than armor. It makes more of an impact if you die, you have to run all the way back to the battle. If there are waypoints right there where you were or close by, you would be able to take a keep easily with reinforcements coming in one after another. If you have to run all the way back, it gives the guys defending time to regroup and reinforce what they need. Also, each keep can have a waypoint in it. Whoops, I can't read. I'm sorry. I'm illiterate. Waypoint on it. It just has to be upgraded for the right amount of gold. The waypoint in Stone Mist Castle was there on my server. It was contested most of the time, but it was there.
So I remember we were talking about that last week, Cynic and I. Like, we thought that maybe you'd be able to put one in there. We just couldn't find a way to do it. So it's good to know that for the defenders, like, this makes a bit of sense. Like, for the defenders, it's good to know that you have a quick way to come back and reinforce your keep and help defend it.
The good thing was, well, the thing I actually don't like is we thought that you, because when we were there in World vs. World, and just to restate what we said last week, there was definitely 100% certain no waypoint in Stone Mist Castle. And the thing was, we thought, okay, maybe you build it with supply. So we got some supply and we looked around all of Stone Mist to see if there was a place to build a waypoint. The point that Elite Spy is bringing up is it's actually for gold. I don't know how I feel about that, man.
That's same way I feel about last week when we were talking about the blueprints and that those are bought with gold. I don't feel like you should have to put in this personal investment of your own money.
Yeah.
Into this World View World event. I feel like there should be some sort of a built-in currency, either use of the supply or another currency like that that is used to do things like buying blueprints and buying again, maybe blueprints for a portal to drop there.
And there's like another angle to the argument we didn't address last week, which was me and Durin suggested that it should be a currency that you earn through playing. Because if it's stuff done through gold, you can actually trade gems for gold. And mm-hmm. you know what that means. You can trade money for gold. So essentially, if you pay enough money, you can have enough money for resources to use in World versus World. And sure, maybe not one person would do it, but if a guild gets together and makes like a community chest, essentially, and pays real dollars to essentially win in World versus World, that's something that's really concerning to me.
Yeah, I mean, for instance, anybody who's playing on a server that would go up against the Goon Squad guild is pretty much fucked.
Yeah.
Oh,
because they will put the money into that to dominate on their World v. World. You know they will.
Yeah. Right, something that you have to put in. But I feel like that, again, goes against the policy of, like, oh, people who don't have that much time will be at a clear disadvantage compared to people who spend thousands of hours in Guild Wars, especially in PvP.
That's what we're saying. That's the problem with this. That's what's bad about the fact that you use money to do things like this. There should be an in-game resource that you earn as you're playing through it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's balanced for everybody. Then the people who can't invest as much time would never be able to succeed as much as a guild that spends hundreds of hours in the game.
I would say a person may not be able to contribute as much in terms of things like building buildings and building teleporters and stuff like that, but they could still absolutely contribute to the actual effort, which is, you know, taking the other keeps, breaking supply lines. Like, there's tons of things to do in PvP. This is just one aspect of it. This is basically your support in PvP. That's what you're doing when you're building new teleporters and you're building the trebuchets and all things like that. You're helping to support the effort, but that's just one aspect of it. The people who are actually there defending the keeps and, you know, fending them off or trying to take keeps or again, taking supply lines, they're also supporting in their own way. It's just another way to play the game.
Yeah, and again, like the fact that the trebuchets and all that stuff is bought by gold and the gold can be traded for money, I really have to underline this. I'm not happy about that, but it's addressing the rest of his point because I have to leave like now. I actually agree with the rest. I like the idea that the attackers have to run up or like at least if not provide a disadvantage to dying, at least increase the amount of people who try to res one another in World versus World. Like obviously, if it takes 6 minutes to run there, then it's definitely the prerogative of the offensive team to make sure everyone's res and happy. But with that statement, I have to go. Good luck for the rest. I can't wait to hear.
Thanks.
I can't wait to hear what you said.
This is going to go downhill very fast. All right.
Oh my god, this is going to be so bad to edit. But anyway, good luck, guys. Have fun. Bye.
Bye. So, continuing on, is there anything anyone wants to add to the comment?
I would agree with Cynic. Like, the biggest issue really is just the idea of having to spend gold on things like this. I keep saying it over and over again, but there really should just be an in-game resource that does this. Because like I understand where you're coming from, where players who maybe don't play as much aren't able to accrue as much of that resource and maybe can't contribute as much towards the purchasing of these things, but they absolutely can still contribute towards the overall effort of the PvP.
Well, the problem with that is if you're going to try to fix the general problem of, yes, having of players who play more of the game having a distinct advantage, like, what would you do to replace it? The only thing I can really think of would be doing something like a global cooldown type thing. As in, when I say global cooldown, I mean global, like for your whole team. Like you have like a 5 minute timer for your whole team to put up a new catapult or whatever, and that leads to another problem where it would then become like, I don't know, like Battlefield, where everyone's sitting around waiting for the jet.
Instead of doing a global cooldown, you would have, like I said, maybe like another resource, and you would gather that resource through things like player kills or taking a keep or killing a Dolyak, or, you know, breaking a supply line, taking a tower, basically completing objectives in there will net your team, not individual, but your team, those points.
But the other thing is, in order to, you don't absolutely require that you, specifically you, have a siege engine just to become a useful member in World v. World.
No, definitely.
It's not necessary.
Somebody, but not necessarily you. And that's the distinction there, is that it's not required that you be the one to necessarily have it, but somebody on your team, if you're trying to take a keep, needs to have a battering ram or needs to have trebuchets, or if you're defending a keep, you need to drop, you know, defensive things on the line as well. Like, there is the need for it in PvP, but it's not necessarily a personal need, but the fact that need is there means that it should not come from a personal expenditure.
Right. But, I mean, that would also devalue the gems even more if it's limited to just PvP, I feel, also. So, are limited to PvE, because if you no longer can use, like, gold, then the use of gems is even less worthwhile. Like, why would you buy gems just for PvE?
Is there no other PvP use for gems in the game at all? Because if there's not, then that's a bigger issue.
I'm not quite sure. Well, I'm sure there's.
I don't really know. Yeah, I don't really know.
Well, because I'm sure the way they use these gems aren't like you're buying things directly using gems. You buy gems and then you trade that for gold in the trading post. Right,
that's an option, but there is a store that you can actually just straight up buy things with gems.
Wow,
like
really?
Experience. Well, I don't know about in-game actual items, but I know you can buy like experience boosts and, of course, your character.
Oh yeah, stuff like that. I'm talking about like straight
and
up gold.
Garments and stuff. Yeah, no, you don't. Yeah, you definitely don't just straight up.
Yeah, gold. I thought it was a gold booster anyway. Like not a straight up, you know.
Well,
dollars for Y amount of gold trade.
Well, that's all dependent on the players, because
things fluctuate very much. Like the price of gems is 0.1% lower this morning, something like that.
Yeah, and that all fluctuates based on supply and demand. But like I said, like the gold you get from your gems is not based on some number determined by ArenaNet. It's however much someone is willing to pay you for it, because it's all done through character transactions. I mean, you sell it to a person, whether it be through auction house or trading. But no, like if that's the only use of gems and PvP, then I feel like there's a larger issue, and there should be more of a use for gems and PvP if that's going to exist at all.
I mean, it's hard to strike a balance between like an obvious advantage of having lots of money and like, you know, you can't have too much advantage for having lots of money. You should be able to balance that out with reasonable amounts of playtime.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So they probably also need to regulate the price of gems so it doesn't get either too high or too low.
I don't think the gems really have any purpose or shouldn't have a purpose in PvP at all. Mostly because you have different expectations involved when you're playing against another human being. You expect it that you're there's a demand for you and the person you're playing against to be on even footing.
At the same time, the microtransaction thing works in MOBAs.
Right. But that's more characters, not like, oh, I'm going to do 80% more damage.
Yeah, it's not 80% more damage. It's more along the lines of,
like,
I have more strategic possibilities, but I'm not literally mechanically better.
Right, yeah. Is there, I'm not 100% sure, I didn't dig real deep into it. Is there some sort of like a currency that you earn through doing PvP that you can then use to buy PvP gear?
Well, there's guild influence, but I'm not sure what.
No. There's the Valor.
The reason I ask is because Valor, that could be another another avenue to go down for the gems, is to get similar to an experience booster in PvE would be to get a Valor booster in PvP.
Right.
And like, if that's not in there, that's a problem.
Well, a Valor booster, that might be all right, because the way...
And those are the kinds of things I mean when I mean it, that they should include things like that in PvP. I don't mean like,
I feel like,
you know,
you,
I should be able to pay
$5
for PvP gear. Like, I don't mean that. I just mean that like...
A Valor booster would mean a person with time and money would be ridiculously ahead than anyone else in the game.
How is that any different than somebody who buys an experience booster?
Well, hang on. Because what you currently do with Valor, at least when I played, was you bought new weapons, but they weren't better. They were still essentially the same as the one you were given when you started doing PvP. Now, World v. World, it was completely different.
If
I remember, I couldn't bring in my PvP weapons into World v. World. I could only bring in PvE weapons.
That's interesting.
See, the thing about the original Guild Wars that made PvP so simple is that the cap was very straightforward and obvious, so everyone would be at the maximum they can. So it's not like any. The only inherent advantage, though, there was no inherent advantage. The only thing people got were skins of items that were worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
But never anything that would give you an actual boost in performance in a game.
Well, and so, I feel like a Valor booster really wouldn't then, from the sounds of things, it wouldn't be completely game-breaking. It would be something you could easily see in a microtransaction store in a free-to-play game.
I feel like I almost feel like they should just limit it to skins or something more aesthetic-looking rather than actual gameplay advantage.
Well, that's the thing. If what Rossin is saying is you know, the stuff that you're buying with Valor is no different than the stuff you're already having equipped, it just looks different. Like, that's basically what you're talking about is skins then.
So in World versus World, is everyone max leveled?
Yes.
Yes, okay, but
everyone is max leveled. The
you're not given the high level equipment. That
yeah,
given
the difference of it is you're going in with your own gear and your own stats, like everything as if you were playing the game normal. It's just they bump your stats up to level 80.
Oh, well, then yeah. Technically someone can just buy a weapon in PvP using their gems and then bring that over to Yeah, I got that switched around. So they can bring it over to PvP after buying their weapons in PvE using gems, I'm assuming.
I would imagine so, yeah.
So,
can you buy weapons using gems?
Well, you buy gems, and then you trade that for gold, and then buy weapons.
Oh, okay.
Because at this point, what I've seen from the store is mostly aesthetic stuff.
And I feel like what we're asking for is more of a PvP balance than ArenaNet is necessarily willing to do with this.
Right.
I think we're talking like some major min-maxing kind of PvP, and that's not what they're going for with their PvP at all.
Well, not with the World v. World.
Well, yeah. And again, like not with the World v. World, but with the structured PvP, none of this fucking matters because it's all given to you in the first place. Like, they balance that by controlling all of it.
So you're saying like World versus World stat-wise should be more similar to structured PvP? Terms of like stats of the
characters. I think if you want it to be balanced, yes, but I don't think that's necessarily what they're doing, because even still, even if they do totally balance it by having everyone start off with all the same equipment, same stats, same skill unlocks, etc., you'd still run into the other imbalancing issue, which would occur in World v. World, which is there's more people than me. As in, if they outnumber you 2-1, it's not going to make much of a difference.
Yeah, and that's gonna be more of an issue, like, again, kind of at launch and everything. It sounds like the matchmaking system that they're implementing is going to take care of that in the future. Like, it has to have a starting point. Right. It's going to be imbalanced when it starts out, but you're going to start getting to a point where low population servers or low population servers with a lower PvP interest are going to be going up against similar servers, and same with, you know, the higher interest servers. So, like, yeah, things are going to be unbalanced at first, but it sounds like that's going to be fixed later on with their matchmaking system.
I just don't know. I hope... I don't know. I always hope that it would be very much more aesthetics than actual gameplay advantage with gems. I don't know.
Well, I think that's what a lot of it is. I think the quote-unquote gameplay advantage they're putting in is, like I said, things like an experience booster that lasts an hour, or there was something in there that was like it was an experience booster, but it was like a challenge experience booster where you had to try to keep a chain up. So it was more like a kind of a fun experience booster, but they're doing things like that seems like that's the extent of the non-cosmetic items that are going to be in there.
Right. I mean, I get PvE, maybe, but PvP, when you're playing against other people... I don't know.
The problem with not including gym-based stuff in PvP is that they're basically completely ignoring a monetary possibility from a good chunk of their player base.
Right.
I mean, especially in a game like this that is, I imagine, is very much focused on the PvP aspect of the game.
Well, the problem with that is a lot of the people who are interested in PvP, like myself, when you start getting into the idea of... I don't want to claim it's pay to win, because I don't. From what I saw, the gem store.
No, they've actually come out and said like they are absolutely making sure they are working their hardest to make sure that they are not, that this is not going to be a pay to win game. Like, I believe that was
I get that, and I haven't seen any real evidence of that. But the fact is, the moment like PvP players start getting a whiff of that, the whiff that, you know, this person might have a mechanical advantage over me because they spent more money, PvP players are gonna flee from the goddamn game.
I would agree with you, but I don't think that's the direction they're going with the gyms. I think that like we were talking about before, I think the gyms for the most part are going to be for utility things that are kind of outside the game, like character slots and stuff like that. And then within the game, it seems like mostly it's going to be cosmetic with some currency boosting things.
Yeah. Not like gameplay changing effects.
No, not at all. Like you're not going to be buying
like more slots to your.
You're not going to be buying some epic PvP sword with gems. That's just not going to happen. If you are, it's because you're selling gems for gold and buying it off the auction, or
you already have the epic PvP sword.
Yeah.
You start off with it essentially.
Well, yeah, exactly. So I mean, that's just I don't think that's like going to be a worry. There's going to be in this game just
clear cut cap to the strength and the stats of the armor. So at least even at the highest levels, people are able to level it off at least just a bit.
Yeah,
because I mean, if there's a clear cut statistic, you know, you there will be no weapon that goes over this amount, and a good chunk of these level 80 weapons are at the same stat range, then people probably wouldn't be, you know. Encouraged to buy that much, I guess. That's a problem, but it wouldn't be like people with a lot of money would have such a big advantage over people who aren't willing to buy.
And that's about the time they released an expansion.
Right.
Yeah.
That's true.
I mean, that's why they time those things when they do. I mean, I imagine that those things come out about the time that their player purchases start to decline, and they time an expansion release around that time where there's a whole new suite of options to choose from on the gem store.
Well, in the original Guild Wars, it was every 6 months for expansions. So that was a bit crazy.
I think it worked out every 9 months, though.
And that's the hard part to really determine in this game. Like, you could kind of expect that they would like go around that same route, especially given that there is no subscription model for the game. But at the same time, like Guild Wars 1 wasn't really an MMO.
You're right. It's very instanced.
Yeah, so I imagine
co-op game.
Yeah, so I imagine content for that game was probably quite a bit easier to create and to balance than it would be for a proper MMO.
Right.
Right. Well, it'll be interesting to see how it all works out in the end.
Definitely.
When it comes out in September.
Don't you mean sometime before or sometime after July, but sometime before August?
I think you might mean like mid-August. Or November.
Between sometime in the summer. Man.
I'll go ahead and be Cynic's voice and say, or maybe November.
It would be like, my birthday is on the last day of July. It would be great if the game came out like right then and there. It's my birthday. Holy shit. Well,
except you've already bought it, so nobody can like, buy it.
Write a letter to
ArenaNet. So.
Hey ArenaNet, it's my birthday. Please release the game on that day. Thank you. They'll probably listen to you. No, they won't.
Oh, I'm sure.
I guess we can just wait. That's all we can do at this point. Just wait and see. I don't know. Maybe
especially with PvP stuff, because we don't know yet how sort of the metagame is going to play out.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're not going to know that until probably at least, you know, 4 or 5 months after release.
I wouldn't go that far, but yeah. Well, I would say about a month.
You got to think in terms of you know, release of the game, and then people leveling themselves up, and then learning their character, learning what builds are best for PvP, and learning what builds work best against others. I mean, there's going to be that kind of iteration, and I think that the metagame is going to take quite a while to actually settle into something. I think I'm being generous by saying, you know, 4 to 6 months.
I mean, even before the release of the game, a lot of that could change within the beta events.
Oh, yeah,
depending
absolutely.
On, like, what the feedback is from the community. Well, I guess they probably don't listen to the feedback. Oh, no, they do. They probably do.
Hmm.
I think. Yes?
I imagine hopefully, they're listening more than a lot of MMO developers recently have been.
I don't know.
Or at least
like,
I would hope.
Apparently the pre-orders were in the hundreds of thousands, but I don't know
what
the point of that is.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I guess it just depends.
I vaguely recall reading that they essentially already hit their pre-order mark.
Yeah, I heard something about that they were actually like considering ending the ability to get into beta weekends with pre-purchases because they were afraid they were going to have too many and more than the servers could handle.
Right. Wow. That would, like, maybe that would raise more pre-orders, just like people rushing to get their pre-purchases just in case. I don't know. It's very unclear at this point about, you know, the release date and how they're going to change some of their stuff. I mean, at this point, it looks like the game is finished very much. I don't know. Do you think the overall development is finished, like, of the end game areas? It just all that's left is beta testing? Or do you think they're still creating a little bit more stuff for game content?
I think they're still creating, definitely. I think that some of the in-game stuff, they're probably trying to get as much of that in as they can, so they're probably still creating, and some of that stuff may come out kind of imbalanced because they didn't get tested properly. I mean, pretty much any MMO does that. They're still working on that stuff up to the last minute that they can. But most of the leveling, I would say probably the leveling content is done. I'm just thinking in terms of, like, you know, quote-unquote in-game content is probably still being worked on.
I don't know. Plus, would you guys spend more of your time leveling or after level 80 just playing around?
I would say
I might be just power leveling characters and then creating more characters and then leveling them to 20. That's or 80, what am I saying?
I'm going to say I probably don't know because it all really depends on what they have available once you hit max level. Because, like, in Star Wars, I would have thought that I would have, once I hit max level in that game, I had planned on, you know, checking out the operations and, you know, doing flashpoints, doing dailies, keeping up on my character. And what happened is I hit max level and I just kind of didn't really want to play anymore.
They just didn't have enticing content?
Pretty much. I think, again, like, a lot of that came down to the lack of a looking for dungeon tool. It really killed my desire. Like, one of the things I like to do, you know, occasionally is when I'm wanting to play a game but not think too hard, is I'll just log on to WoW, turn some music on, hit the looking for dungeon, and just kind of veg out and play. And that's one thing that's kind of fun for me to do, and unfortunately I wasn't able to do that in Star Wars, so that kind of killed a lot of my desire to keep playing the game.
I mean,
well, thankfully you don't have to worry about that with Guild Wars. At least, well, I guess, I don't know. Have they confirmed whether or not there's actually going to be a looking for group tool for the dungeons? Because I know for the events it's not going to matter, just go in and
I thought I had heard somewhere that they were going to have one. Yeah, they're instanced.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to say that there was going to be
party?
One.
I thought it would just be the party system, and then you all go in the dungeon.
I hope not, because that's what Star Wars had, and it fucking sucks.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh God, yeah.
It's terrible. I mean, like, they need to have a.
Do you really want to? Do you really want to go back to, like, EverQuest 1 days where you had?
Yeah,
to,
like, sitting in your town. Hey, I'm looking for you know, four more people for this dungeon.
LFG.
For 3 hours trying to, and then you get, like, you know, three out of the four people, and you think you might have somebody, but then one of your guys that's in your group has to go because he has to go eat dinner or go see his dog or go wash his hair. And so then you lose.
Well, what
that
about, like, a random pick button? Just you press ready and then you join. And if you have more than one player, you're all in the party and you press ready. And
that's called a looking for dungeon tool.
Yeah.
That's what I was talking about. That's what needs to be in there.
That is the ready button that you were describing.
Yeah. Yeah, like, that needs to be in. I think after that was introduced, I don't know if WoW was the first one to introduce it. I think they were, but who knows. But after that was introduced in whatever game came up with it first, every MMO after that needs to have it. Like, there are people out there that, I mean, there are probably going to be people that respond to this podcast and say, no, you know, that ruins the environment or the atmosphere of the game and, you know, whatever. Like, that was BioWare's excuse.
The community because apparently the community consists of level 32 whatever looking
yeah
for
exactly
group.
Well, and that was BioWare's excuse as well for why they didn't want to include it either, but then they went and made all
and
of
then it
the,
turns
the
out their
points.
Community left the game in like 4 months.
Not just that, they made the entrances to all their flashpoints all be in the same fucking room.
What?
Like, one of their arguments for why they didn't include it was they wanted people to be out in the world and to have to, you know, they felt like that diminished the size of the world or the feel of the scope of the world by just hitting a button and teleporting to somewhere. But first of all, they included that for PvP. And second of all of the entrances to their flashpoints are from literally the exact same fucking room. There's just one side of the room has three portals. The other side has the other three portals. So it was just that they didn't want to fucking do it.
I wonder now why the game apparently has nothing but empty servers. It's a mystery.
Probably sell some of those servers to ArenaNet. ArenaNet really needs these servers.
So yeah, with Guild Wars 2, like I it could even be in now. I don't know. So if somebody listening, you know, comments on that, sorry, I didn't look for it because I was too busy doing my events. I didn't really care for doing dungeons on that first event. But it definitely needs to be there at launch. Like that's a key thing in MMOs. If that game releases without it, it's going to really hinder a lot of people's fun, especially given that from what I've seen from gameplay trailers, like, or gameplay videos, those dungeons look really fucking fun. Yeah. And so I would love to be doing those things, but if it requires me standing in town or standing around in a field somewhere trying to get people together, fuck that. I got better things to do.
But that wait makes it all so much more fulfilling when you finally beat the dungeon.
You know what? That might have... That excuse might have flown when I was 15 years old and I had all day long to play games. But nowadays, I don't have that kind of time anymore.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, wait a minute. I'm a grown-ass adult. I got shit to do.
Yeah, like, I put up with that shit when I played Final Fantasy XI back in 2004. But I was also in high school. I had a lot more free time than I do now.
I don't know. I sincerely hope they add it. But I don't know. I guess... If people are all riled up in the beta, did you guys play it at all? The dungeons?
No, I didn't.
I think they start off at like level 30 anyway. So
No. Is it?
Isn't the Ascalon Catacombs that people can buy?
Well, okay. I thought that's level 30.
Yeah.
Well, so, I mean, the thing is, you have to remember, like, content scales to your level.
Right.
No, it scales down.
Right, it scales down, it doesn't scale up. I just
That makes sense. Okay. So yeah, no, I absolutely didn't then, because I only got up to like 19 or 20.
Okay. Well, that's about where most people were at.
Yeah, I think in the guild it seemed like there was one person that was a little higher than me, and then me and a couple other people were like 18 or 19, and then everyone else was like 15 and below. So
yeah.
I felt pretty good about being able to
do that. A lot of people split their time along a lot of characters.
Yeah, definitely.
Man, this game's going to be great.
All right, so...
When does it finally come out?
Let's close this off. Let's sign this out.
All right,
let's... Does anyone want to plug something? No? Durin?
I guess I'll re-plug the... Twitch account. I haven't really been streaming as much lately because I've been pretty much just playing Diablo, and there's about 40 million people streaming Diablo. Right. But
yeah,
absolutely disgusting crap all over the internet.
But I will be definitely with the next beta event, and I may even stream some Secret World this weekend. They have the pre-order weekend going on again, so I might stream some of that again.
That game's coming out.
It comes out next month.
I'm sorry, wait,
and that's for a different
serious?
Conversation.
What?
But
whoa.
Yeah, that's for a different conversation, but it should not be coming out next month is what I'll say right now.
great.
Yeah, I'll stream some of that this weekend as well. The stream channel is twitch.tv/Durin, D-O-U-R-I-N. It'll mostly be in the evening hours for the most part, pretty much after my son goes to bed, because otherwise he tends to hog the bandwidth with Netflix. But yeah, like I said, I'll be streaming some of that on there. I may stream some Diablo. I'm kind of off and on there most nights. This week has kind of been the exception with all sorts of games. I've been playing a lot of betas lately, so I've been playing a lot of that stuff. Torchlight 2 as well. So if you're interested in watching somebody play that, I pretty much just play for the people that are watching. So if they want me to do something, I do it in terms of in-game. So
I was just thinking of that. Thank you.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Could you wear these women's panties?
I was watching a stream one day where somebody was streaming. I think it was Tara, and they were doing like a charity event.
Oh, God,
and when they reached a certain amount,
models.
when they reached a certain amount, the guy like took his shirt and he was wearing a luchador mask. And when he reached a certain amount, he took his luchador mask and his shirt off That was the request from the chat. It was some guy from Destructoid, or like a community member of Destructoid. It was.
You should do that.
It was creepy. Yeah, no, I'm not that desperate.
When he took his shirt off, did everyone suddenly start demanding their money back from the charity?
No, but I think the viewer count dropped by like about 500.
Wow. Yeah, that would happen.
Rustin, anything to plug?
No, although after talking to Durin, I'm probably going to have to plug my own Twitch channel. Yeah, I kind of want to get in on that.
Getting the Twitch plugging.
What is your Twitch
channel? I would like to plug my Guild Wars character again. That's Bro Han Solo for anyone feeling generous. Right. As much to play games. I'm not even asking. I just want to play Guild Wars with someone. No one's playing Guild Wars, right?
So, there's lots of people playing Guild Wars right now.
So, Rostin, you said you wanted to plug your Twitch channel, but you forgot to say what it was.
Yeah. No, as in I want to talk to you and learn, like, you know, what exactly should I do as far as getting that up and running.
Check back next week for Rossin's Twitch channel.
Okay, great.
Accepting any donations for Guild Wars money. That's right. I'm going to go that low. Okay, yep.
Kickstarted.
Rossin and Durin, we are signing off. Thank you. And tune again next week, possibly, when we have another podcast. Thank you. Goodbye.
All right, goodbye.
All right, later. Bye.
Love you.
I think I nailed down an intro while I was in the shower.
Hell yeah.
So I'm going to try to go
it. Just go ahead.
All right. I'm going to do what Cynic does and be all fancy and not count the twos and ones.
Yeah.
Ready? 5, 4, 3. Hello. Welcome to the show today. This is episode 4 of the Lincoln Cast for the week of May 18th, 2012. I'm your host, Nubarama, and joining me here today is self-confessed Cynic.
Hello!
Durin.
Hello.
And Rossin.
Hi.
Hi! Okay, so, what is up, guys, this week?
There was, like, no energy to that, by the way. That was terrible. Oh, my God.
Okay, fine. Hello! Fine,
no, don't start again. It's fine.
Fuck you.
Just keep running. Just keep rolling with it.
We're already off to a great
Start. Welcome to the show today. This is episode 4 of the Lincoln Cast
for
the week of May 18th, 2012. Okay.
It's all staying in.
Can I try one?
Yeah, sure. Go.
Do it.
Hello and welcome to the... What the fuck is this again? Lincoln Cast, 4th episode for the week of May 18th, 2012. How are you doing, gentlemen?
Hello, welcome to the show today. This is episode 4 of the Lincoln
welcome
Cast.
Welcome to the Movie Phone Cast.